Welcome to Orange Country.
We got to just jump in because the conversation is already happening before we've even been recorded. So I'm trying to slow these ladies down for a minute and let you guys hear what we're talking about. But we have the, God, what can I say about our guest?
Oh, wow. Here it goes.
I mean, I just met her, but I feel like I've known her forever. You have entertained me, inspired me. I mean that. I mean it. I have a lot to say about the way you've inspired me.
I just want to let you know I'm basically not going to be a part of this podcast today.
Gina's tired, so I'm going to let her. So anyway, let me just actually say that Heather Dubrow is here. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I mean, I think everybody post BravoCon is moving a little slower. So I appreciate
this. Is what we call drunk plans. Hey, you want to come on the podcast?
November, yeah.
Whatever. Oh, I go, is that the day after we get back from? Yeah. Okay. It'll be fine.
Totally. Yeah.
Good plan.
But you know what? The thing is, I knew Heather would be here and I knew she would be here on time.
Yeah. Yes. I know. As I was late and
she's very reliable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Very reliable. So at BravoCon, they are very well organized.
Yes.
And they do this thing. So we're all staying, I think everyone was staying in two different hotels, maybe?
Yeah, I heard that, and I don't know if this is true, but I heard that the more problematic ladies were staying at a different hotel.
Oh, is that true?
They put them all together?
But I don't know if that was just a joke
that
or not.
That is so funny. Well, at our hotel, what they would do is they wanted you to check in at this suite and then go down to the lobby and then your cars would be waiting, whatever. Which, did you go to that suite?
Yes, often. And Sheen was with me too.
Yeah.
So yeah, the suite was good because there was a lot of snacks in there.
There were snacks.
Yes.
But I only went to the suite the first two times.
It was on my floor too.
So it was really easy for me.
It was convenient for me.
Well, after the first time, I think I went twice. Walking, so it's a hotel. It's far.
Yeah.
We're wearing very high heels and we were standing for like 15 minutes.
And it was
far away
from the elevator.
It was the end. It was the last suite.
End room. And so it was a lot of walking back and forth.
I said to
one of the girls, I go, hey, I totally understand why you're doing this because you got to wrangle everyone. And I go, I'm assuming people are late.
Right.
And she goes, people get. Yeah. And I go, okay. I go, I'm not late. It's okay. Can I prove to you that I will be on time? And can I please not walk?
Can I have the privilege of just going down to the cars?
So I showed up twice and then they said, it's fine. So I would just go downstairs. But the last, I was waiting to go to Watch What Happens Live on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I was waiting for Sutton.
Okay.
Because she didn't want to go by herself.
Well, Garcelle, the first panel I had was like the dynamic duo, like besties. And so I was on it with Sutton and Garcelle. And that Sutton was late to that too. And Garcelle outed her as being like the late birdie, like the late friend.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. Was she late for you when you met up with her?
Well, she's late for everything apparently, but I love her.
I didn't know that. All I knew is Terry had to go. He had to leave on Sunday because he had to work on Monday. So I was by myself. And honestly, I mean, I'm an independent person, but you know what? Sometimes I don't like traveling by myself.
I hate traveling by myself.
So Sutton texted me and she was like, hey, I don't want to go by myself. I go, yeah, okay, me neither. I said, let's just meet down in the bar at 4:30. Okay, and so I'm like, fine. So I'm down at the bar at 4:29, right? And I'm there and I'm waiting and it was fun. You know, Kelly Bentz-Bones down, like fun people.
That was fun to meet.
So we're hanging out with different people and I'm 4:32, 4:40.
Oh, shit.
And now these Bravo people who I told to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Now your reputation's online.
They go, Heather, we got to go. I go, I showed them my phone. I go, I'm waiting for Sutton and I'm not leaving her. I go, she doesn't want to go by herself. Now I'm texting her. I go, they're asking for you. Come down. And then she did.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you kind of ruined your street.
It makes me think of all the times on the show when people are late and it the clock is ticking and it shows. I almost wanted to say that you were in that situation once where someone kept you waiting, but maybe I'm confusing it. I know recently it happened on New York where Jessel kept Cy waiting for like 40 minutes and it was super
40 minutes
heated.
Is too long.
It's too long. And it was.
No, there was a thing at the hoedown. Did you remember the episode? Did you watch the show?
Yeah, I did.
So you remember I had the hoedown?
I remember
the groundbreaking.
I remember.
Yes.
So what happened was, we were doing the digging of the first scoop.
I can't believe thinking now, real quick, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, okay.
I can't believe that that was the groundbreaking of the house
I just sold.
That you just sold. I mean, like, it's mind blowing how long ago and how much happened. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
Well, that's why people are like, oh, you just built your dream house and then you sold it. I'm like, it took 3 years.
Yeah.
To plan yeah. and build it.
And it was fun.
And we lived in it for 6. So it was like almost a decade
yeah,
with that house.
Of your life. Well,
no,
yeah.
I didn't realize y'all lived there that long.
We lived there 6 years.
Yeah.
But I mean, me building it for 3 years, I lived with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 9 years. It was a long time.
But it's also a long time when you think about like a decade where your kids were in life, because 10 years is a ton. Now you're to a point where you're having kids out of the home. Plus you have the twins, so that's a twofer.
Mm-hmm.
So your life significantly changed. So it makes so much sense that you wouldn't, you really,
and let's get real. It was the price.
Well, yeah. I mean, the price was right.
Take one of my kids
for
that
selling?
Price.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, I had been, we never lived anywhere longer than 3 years. This is the longest we ever lived in a house. I mean, I think the twins have been in 12 different homes. That's just, mm-hmm.
yeah.
We didn't plan you like it that move. Way. It just,
it's also business.
Organically
I mean, yeah.
happens.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've done really well in real estate.
Yeah.
We've built homes, remodeled homes, sold. And, you know, it's, and I enjoy it.
You do enjoy it. That's
I do. But
the
one I just bought now, this is my last project.
This is going to be a big one.
I know no one believes me, but I'm telling you,
yeah.
I'm done.
Is it just hard?
It's just the amount of time that it takes to do it and where you have to be displaced and live while you're yeah. doing it. I'm done with like the temporary.
You want to just enjoy it.
Yeah, but this is a really fun project. I'm very excited about this house. But will we live in it 1 year or 10 years? I don't know.
So who was the, sorry, I want to go back to the hoedown.
Yeah.
Who was late?
Oh, I don't remember the exact story. So this is my memory of it now, is that we were doing the first digging of the scoop of dirt.
Yeah.
And I wanted everyone to be there. We wanted to have a moment. I was having people write wishes and put them in a jar, put them under the foundation. More on that later.
Hmm.
But Shannon and Vicky were incredibly late.
Well, Shannon's late to everything.
But the thing was, they were at Shannon's house hanging out, doing whatever they were doing. It's not like there was traffic.
Right.
She lives
Do you know that
four
stuff?
Streets away.
Right. That's bad.
Do you know that stuff beforehand, or do you find out when you watch the show and see that that's what they were doing?
No. Yes. I found that out later, but they showed up she said something like, sorry, we were late. We blah, blah, blah. And I said, I wish I would have known.
I would have blah, blah, blah.
We waited for you. Yeah. Whatever. And then she got mad and I don't know.
A lot goes into it too when you think about, okay, you're having a real party, right? So you're putting on a real function, a real event. There's timing and things that go into that. When am I going to serve the food? When am I going to do this? Your real guests, your friends are there. And then you're also straddling this production that's also going on, and then they have, you know, input and impact on that. And then maybe she wanted to announce something at a certain time or whatever. And it's like, now people are late. Now it stops everything of your real event that you're having, because now they got to get these ladies mic'd, have them come in.
Exactly.
There's a whole thing, and it could really mess you up.
Well, and you understand it's an empty lot. So they had to construct tents and things for production to be at. Plus, my kids are little.
Right, which is not easy.
And so we're throwing a party and all my kids are there.
Yeah.
And like,
and it's all
Tamara's daughter was like, a lot of the kids were there. You show up on time,
you know,
or
it's funny.
Text me.
And you're the kind of
I'm
host that I understand you want it to be right. I still get stressed. I still have anxiety about all that sushi at your party that went away.
It was a lot.
Why are you going to bring that up? That one was my fault. Maybe we let that one
Well,
go.
It's just the whatever.
I really don't think it was, Gina.
Hindsight, do you really like know and believe though how like upsetting that was for me? Like it was so hard because I was seeing everything that was going on, and in real reality, I was just like, this is tough. You know, like it was so.
But there were other layers to what happened, which we did talk about on the show and at the reunion that was never showed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was unfortunate because it also explained a lot.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Y'all are speaking pretty generally right now. So give a quick synopsis. Oh, let's not. Actually, I would rather, let's not. Everybody
I'm
can
not
go
sure
back.
I want to give that more
And
light.
You've, you know
we
what?
We lost that battle.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to merge.
Actually, what you just said is.
Yes, we definitely did.
When you said not giving that more life, to explain what I said in the beginning, and I'm sorry to be stepping all over Gina today, but I am so excited to have time with you.
Oh, that's so nice.
And she has, she gets you. She gets you more. Yes. So what I want.
We had so much fun.
We really did. We should talk about that.
I want to, but I want to talk about this first. So the thing is, when I said in the beginning that you've entertained me, you've inspired me, I really want to focus that. That is a word that people throw around. You really inspire me. I just want to say why I said that. Because I was thinking about that driving in today, and so we always try to tie in, whether it's we're talking about country music, whether we're talking about my career, her career, Real Housewives, whatever. It's got to mean something more than just just the frothy fun, mm-hmm. or we wouldn't keep coming back. And you have lived your life in a way that is so inspiring to me as I move in and out of some different chapters, some different things that, you know, have really worked for me, and some dreams that I have that a lot of times I don't want to admit because I'm afraid I won't get them.
Right.
You don't do that. And I have watched you so bravely, to me, put out when you are building a house, when you are sending kids to college, when you are dealing with a child who is transitioning, when you are mostly still pursuing your acting career in a very out loud way that I think if you weren't as secure and confident in yourself and also a dreamer, that you might go, I'm not going to say that out loud because I'm on a reality show.
I used to feel that way.
Well,
I think age helps with that.
I just love that you really helped me. As I'm this country music writer. I have Grammys. I have topped out over there. I've had 50 number one songs. But I wanted to do this because this is really fun to me. I really like Gina. And I really like the conversations we have.
Not everybody does.
But you know, it would be very easy to go, wait, what are you doing? And it's like, you know what? I've always loved these shows. I get invested in these stories. It's so fun. And I just want to have fun.
I love that.
It's good to put your personality out there.
And part of that is, I swear, a lot of that has been watching. It looks like you want to have fun. You want to enjoy it. And you really don't let a lot of this knock you down. I just feel like you're just like, yeah, you know what? And when people say, oh, you're moving to Beverly Hills, are you going to be an OC? The way you handled that multiple times when people have said that, you're like, yeah, we have a house in Beverly Hills. This is a dream. We're getting to redo this historic home. We've built our dream house. Our kid, I just think it's awesome. And it really inspires me. And I know it inspires other people to just say, what do you want to do? And let's enjoy it.
I appreciate that. I think that at some point, you know, you get to a certain juncture in your life or a certain age where you don't have anything left to lose. And if you have to have that aha moment where you say, okay, well, here I am in my life and I'm grateful and lucky enough to be healthy, have this good relationship, this or that, whatever. You know, what's going to make me happy? Because I think especially for women, you know, we're not taught that we can do it all, or, you know, we're taught we're supposed to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And I hope the next generation doesn't feel that way. And I'm not raising my kids that way. And I know mm-hmm. Gina's not raising her kids that way either. But that's how we were raised. Maybe not you. Your parents are younger than mine. But my parents' generation were different.
Yeah.
They came from, and they're a product of their environment too. So I'm not putting them down. We're all a product of our environments. But that's how we were raised, is that you are going to sacrifice and you are going to make choices.
And it's got to be hard. And I think it's a new day.
But that is one of the things that I find so impressive about Heather, is that she truly is somebody who's a let's break the cycle person.
Yeah.
And not in a way where she's like disrespectful to where she came from, just in a way where she recognizes the things that could be improved upon and she makes those improvements as she goes forward in her life. And I think that's really respectable. Heather is honestly, me and Emily are, you know, also I think similar in we came on together. So outside of Emily, because I kind of put her in her own, you know, little lane, she's the first woman who came on or was on the show for me that I truly consider like a mentor mm-hmm. and somebody that like I look up to and somebody that really gives me advice. And I think that sometimes people don't see that or don't understand that friendship between us. But like, for, and it honestly, it has nothing to do with her financial status. It has to do with her as a person.
I've never ever thought that the money thing has ever, it's always been made. I feel like you're held to a higher standard.
She has a phenomenal lifestyle. People want to see that.
I know, but it's just so silly. Like even you just saying that right now, I thought to myself, what are you talking about?
Oh, right.
Right. Because
I always feel like I have to clarify because on the show, you know, there, and this is what it is. This is why it's hard for us, right? Because you get casted and then people want to see into your life. You have a phenomenal lifestyle. Obviously, people want to see that.
Right.
And you're very open. So you're okay with showing your lifestyle, but then you get accused because you're showing the thing that people want to see.
I remember when I came back to the show, there was like, oh, I love her. She's classy and sophisticated and this and that. And people were asking me in interviews, you know, oh, you must be so excited. And I go, I know how quickly that devolves into obnoxious, pretentious, stuck.
I love.
That's why I always feel like I have to do that clarification because then I'm on the other side of it and I get accused of just being like up your ass for your money, which
it's
never been like that. So I feel the need to always say, no, it's because of who Heather is. And I always say that even if you were poor, you would be the same exact mm-hmm. person because of you are course. Who you are.
That's
like
right.
It has nothing to do. You are not a different person because of your financial status. You're just not. Like you are who you are.
Well, when you hang out with people and you really get to know them, you know who they are.
Yeah.
At their core.
At their core.
That's just fun. And it's comfortable. And I mean, I've been poor, I've been rich.
Rich is better.
Of course. And I love that for both of you.
And I've never pretended like I wasn't. That's one thing that like I loved about you because is to crouch or to shrink because of it. I always watched that in people though. And you know, like if something
some people feel guilty.
Exactly. And if something good ever happened for my mom, she would always be like, well, we'll see. Or if this and the truth
my mom does that too. It seems to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's and like, you both work very hard for what you have. I think that's a common denominator.
That's the only thing I think that bothers
you
me.
You don't get credit for that.
And it's not that I need it, but it's like, you know, that housewife book that they wrote that said that Terry inherited all his money and like Vicky always says that. And
I didn't know that.
Which is not true.
No, but I didn't know it said that.
Oh, wait.
We'd love to be trust fund people.
And guess what?
You know
and
that
if you were.
Terry's brother was in Quiet Riot?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. You got to tell
Kevin Dubrow, lead singer of Quiet Riot. Yeah. Come on, feel the noise.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Terry's lead brother. But there was no money.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Yeah. That would have been nice.
Of course that's nice.
Well, I got to say
about- And there's nothing wrong with inheriting it too,
no,
right?
Listen.
Yeah.
No, that-
but I say to Terry now- happened. You were with me. We were talking the other night with, I don't want to say who because that would be their personal information, but we were sitting with someone talking about inheritance.
Oh yeah.
Were talking about leaving things. And I said, my joke with Terry now is how much you want to leave him?
Right.
Let's spend it.
We just had this exact conversation with our financial planner. They're like, if you do this, this is what you'll have in your 90s.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, no. They're not getting that much.
No.
Like,
how many kids do you guys have?
Two. Yeah. We just have twins. A 10-year-old boy and a girl. And he's like, that's not even helpful to them if they end up,
it's too much. It gets in the way.
But plus the truth is hopefully our kids are completely grown and established before we die. It's not like they're sitting there waiting for it to happen that's going to make their life.
Right. You have to be worried about getting the pillow over your face.
I mean,
we need the money.
Yeah. do you... When you left the show, this is something I've always wondered about because I've had things that come and go. I got to work on a TV show a few years ago on NBC called Songland it felt designed for me. It was the most amazing. We did two seasons. It was where I got to mentor songwriters. It was what I do in my normal life. It felt seamless and it was so fun. And then it went away. And I had to let go of my attachment of it and go, look, there's some other things. I wrote a Broadway musical in the in-between that opened and is on Broadway now. And there are some things that I wouldn't have done had I been doing that show. Thank you. But when you left the show, did you leave hurt? Were you disappointed? Was it your choice? And then did you have to let go of the attachment of it and just know, look, if it comes back around, it does. I enjoy doing it. I just would love to hear the spiritual part, because it coming back and just naturally, that's a decision you made beyond contracts or negotiations. That's something you had to, you know, make right with yourself. And I'm just curious how you did that.
So the comparison to Songland would be the last scripted show that I was a series regular on was a show called That's Life.
Mm-hmm.
It was on CBS. I starred in this show. It was Oscar winners, and Paul Sorvino played my dad. Ellen Burstyn played my mom, Debbie Mazar.
I watched it.
Wow.
It was a fantastic show. It was hugely critically acclaimed. And I had come from sitcoms. I'd done many sitcoms. I'd been a series regular on many sitcoms. But this was like a big deal, this dramedy that they wrote. And I remember at the time the story went, like they couldn't cast. They'd cast everyone except this lead role. And Les Moonves at the time was, you know, head of CBS. And he had known me from other shows. And I guess they were all sitting in a room and he said, we need a star. If you want to get this show made, get Heather Page Kent, and walked out.
Don't you love her name too?
Yes.
Heather Page Kent.
Yes.
Like that's a good name.
It is.
Thank you. So so I hope that doesn't sound braggy, but it was like a moment. So
you're
I
to
love
brag
this
though.
Story.
So have your moment.
So
you know?
I've never told that story before. So they called me and I went in and I met with Les and like all the people and whatever. And I read and I got the part. So it went for 2 seasons. I'm sure Taylor knows exactly how many episodes
I'm sure she
it
does.
Went for. But
I can't even get
it. Went
there.
For 2 seasons. It was critically acclaimed. They wrote articles about me, like from Variety. If Heather Page Kent doesn't pull your heartstrings, it's time for a transplant. Like crazy, amazing. It was on a terrible night. I mean, by today's standards, it was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
But by those standards,
yeah.
You know, the numbers just weren't what they wanted them to be. And they moved it around a lot and all that. But after 2 seasons, it got canceled. That was a loss.
Yeah.
This was my dream. I was up at 3:30 in the morning every day, skipping to work.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it didn't add up. That's the hardest part. For, you know, when you say all those things, and I know them all to be true, that you're just perplexed.
You want it
so
bad.
I understand that
and
feeling. You're like, it
your
just
soul,
felt.
And the audience loved it. And even to this day, I'll get messages
yeah.
about Lydia DeLuca, the character I played in the whole thing.
Feels unfair.
And it felt, and that was a loss. And I remember exactly where I was sitting in my house yeah. in Bel Air, not in Bel Air. We lived above the Gladstones. What do you call that over there? I don't remember. But anyway, at Palisades. We're living in this house, and I remember I was sitting and I was devastated. And I thought, will I ever work again? What will become of me? You get the imposter syndrome going. This was yeah. this was the thing, and now it's gone. And then what happened was we decided it was time to start a family. And so we had been trying, sort of trying, whatever, mm-hmm. but we went on the IVF cycle, and you know, it's a lot. And I was still, you know, testing for shows and whatever I was doing. And then we ended up having 4 kids in 7 years, and I would still do a pilot here and there and that kind of thing. And then got on the reality show circuit. This is going to be kind of a long answer.
I don't care.
To this question.
I'm in it, and I know everyone hearing
it's
it
interesting.
Is.
Yeah.
So I still worked during those periods of time, but not much. And also, and I know you'll understand this, both of you as parents, is that I would do a pilot, right? I get cast onto a pilot, and we would go live in LA. For like 2 weeks, we'd stay at Oakwood Apartments. We'd get like a short-term rental, bring the babies with me. We'd go do that. And then it wouldn't get picked up. Mm-hmm. And I was upset and relieved
mm-hmm.
at the same time. Because as much as I really missed it and wanted it mm-hmm. and needed it in a way, I love my kids so much that it was almost like the universe gave me the gift of not being successful at that time. So I could be with
that.
My kids.
Yeah.
So I really, you know, there was a decade of that, that I was just, even though I was emotionally pulled mm-hmm. all the time. And Terry would say, if I could give you a crystal ball and show you that everything was going to be okay. I was like, yeah, I know, I get it, but I can't not want it and I can't not mourn it in those periods of time. So when the reality thing came up, I was very against it.
She didn't want to do it. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
That makes sense, though, for what you're describing.
It felt like a downgrade.
Yep. And you have to understand, and Tamara sort of came after me about this on the reunion as if I looked down on the cast or the show. At that time, remember, okay, so I was on a show called Stark Raving Mad with Tony Shalhoub and Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay.
And it was sitcom.
Tony Shalhoub.
Love MPH. Anyway, so it was MPH, HBK. Anyway, it only went a season. It was a really fun show to do. And it was funny because Two Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place was also on with Ryan Reynolds and Tiffany Thiessen, who I met.
Oh my God. Thanks to Heather.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah. You know, like dreams come
that's
true.
That's a big one.
You really do.
Yeah.
Got a picture with her.
Yeah.
That was awesome for me. I was like, I just met Kelly Kapowski. Like, that was so cool.
So that's how I know her.
Yeah.
Because in the breaks.
Yeah. That's how you know, like, that to me blows my mind because like when you think about Heather and then I think about all of these people that are a part of my whole childhood and growing up and I feel like I know them and they're so important to me. And to me, it's not Tiffany Amber Thiessen, it's Kelly Kapowski, right?
Right.
But like Heather easily could have been one of those people had you not have made those decisions after That's Life to then do your family
right.
and do what moms do and really lean into that.
Right.
Because you were in that, like you could have been, weren't you on Friends?
No.
But
I was
on
Friends.
You easily could have been.
But that's the thing about TV
show
shows.
Like that.
And that's what I was trying to explain to my point with Taylor. It's like,
it's a different lane.
No, but also, it is so hard to get a television show.
Right.
It's hard to get a guest star. It's hard to get a recurring. It's hard to get
one episode, anything.
A series regular show. And if you are, I mean, to have lightning strike you like that, it is a lightning strike to have a show be huge like that. I didn't
all
get that.
Whilst that's the thing that I think she's missing is, this was your whole life, your passion that you put into this. You went to school for this. You worked hard for 100%. This. You worked every day for that.
But it's also, I mean, you know how it goes. It's luck, talent, timing. We moved to Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, if you're Brad Pitt, you can live anywhere in the world and you're going to work, right? You're Brad Pitt. But at that time, and remember, there was no streamers. There was no social media. There was no, you didn't make content. It was a much different world. If you moved away, you were gone.
Yes.
Right.
So
that's so interesting.
And you went and did
was
it.
A choice.
And then
to leave away.
Where, yes.
But something did show up.
Where lightning couldn't strike anymore. Like you left the.
I tried. I would drive up to LA even with the kids. But all of a sudden it's like, you know, how long did it take you to get here today?
Two and a half hours.
And think about like a voiceover audition that's 2 minutes long.
Right.
Now you do them on your phone. But at the time you went into the studio. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
So. To go on Housewives, I was not interested. Oh, wait, to finish the other thing. So when I was on Stark Raving Mad, a little show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out.
Hmm.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah, but what happened was it was such a huge hit. It went from one night a week to two nights a week.
It took up all the space.
It ate up everything. Everything, and it killed so many scripted shows. So the prevailing feeling from actors was, at the time, that reality and unscripted is bad. And it's going to kill scripted. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, there's a place for everyone. And now with all the channels and the streaming and everything, and it's great. And I love reality. And I think it's a huge part of our culture, and as is scripted.
Right.
And they all should deserve to live together harmoniously. But at the time, that wasn't true.
Right.
So to join the show was like, felt like a step down.
Yeah.
I felt like I'd never work as an actress again, which was upsetting to me. And I felt like there was a piece of me that I had given up so much for my family.
Right.
That it felt like another piece I was giving up.
You know what it
makes sense.
It's funny because I think of, well, first of all, everything you just said is so important. I know how it resonated with me in that I've moved to Santa Barbara to focus on my family in this and it feels so far from the music business.
Right.
And people do come out there and I've had amazing huge artists come and want to create. But I need this time. My kids are 10. I miss the first part because I was working all the time. And I was just thinking this morning, I was thinking, God, that basketball tryout that, you know, that I was going over it, I thought, as stressed as I was, as tired as I was, I have all the energy in the world for that. I want to stand in that stinky gym and watch those fifth grade boys, you know, try to get on these teams. And I haven't done that.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we had a nanny that did a lot for us the first decade. And now we're doing it because it's like, look, we've missed, you know, and we look, we were still there, but we missed a lot of the, you know, putting them to bed and being there in the morning. And so what you just said about that period when you went and decided to have kids, it is the universe lining things up just as you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately you're back in it. And I will say the reality thing has evolved since you got on the show, the evolution of what it means to be on a reality show, but also
100%.
It gives you a performance aspect. A lot, you know, it's the same thing with like Songland. I'm a songwriter and I make music. And so there was this look of when I wanted that so bad, people going, but why do you want to be in front of the camera? I would say, well, I don't know. There's a performer in me. And although I don't see myself like a Luke Bryan or somebody, but you know, I said, I don't know what it is. I just know that I like doing that.
You're a personality.
And so.
And I think that's cool.
But why do we even have to.
I know.
Why do you even have to say that? You are a talented human.
It's because people don't want you to want that.
I think Shane's journey is so much more messed up. Like, this is the part that I don't understand about music, because to me, he does deserve the accolades for being the creator of all of this amazing.
But I've gotten that. I mean, I did.
But
you know,
not in
I,
the way where we get it. Like, I'm running out of this building, getting people screaming at me, telling me I love. You know, if they knew that you were the man behind all this stuff, you deserve to have spotlight.
I've gotten a lot more of that than most people who do what I do, and that is because I like it.
Yeah.
That's because I liked doing the show, you know, and a lot of people don't want to do
that. Don't want to do it. You know? Yeah. So. It's interesting.
But you know what? We are lucky in the fact. Why? Is everything okay?
Is everything okay?
Clearly not. If the middle of a.
Call him.
Oh, shit. That's bizarre.
It might just be, he might just need this information. So let me give him this information.
Yeah. No, I just want to make sure it's not the
kids.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Thank you, because you never know.
But it's not the kids.
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's, we have that. Okay. He's okay. We have I have that big listing in La Quinta.
Yeah.
And we had the photographers go, and then we had another photographer going today to do like this mapping thing, you know, like the digital 360 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
She needs to be able to get in. So he said, no, thank you. Sorry. He's good. Okay.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Wait, what time are we going until?
We're pretty close to wrap up.
Okay. Yeah. I just have to, I have a 12 o'clock meeting. I cannot.
Oh no. We'll be done. And I would say like 10 minutes probably for the length of the episode. What's that?
What?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
15
like
more.
10, 15
okay,
minutes,
great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Do you remember where we were? It was Heather speaking. We were just talking, still talking about the
how
performance aspect of it. Oh, and
don't get the accolades,
and
then you get that. You get more than most people because you enjoy it.
Yeah.
But also we're talking about the kids, and let me make you feel better. I know you're there. And it's great to have help. And some of us don't have family that live nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of us are lucky enough, and I'm super grateful we have been able to, you know, hire people that are so
everybody
important.
Should have help. It's disgusting that you do.
Well, help, like, it, whether it be, whether, like, it be family, think, or whether it be.
Right. But everybody should have help.
Yeah.
Yes.
The good news is they don't remember the first 10 years. You're totally fine.
It's
but
true.
You know what? Your kids seeing you be happy and successful and fulfilled is such an important thing. So I've recently been reached out to about some scripted stuff, and I was in Katarina's room last night and we were talking. She was, Mom, I just want you to know something. She's 17. I just want you to know something. If you're going to go down that path again, she goes, you have our, I'm going to cry telling this. She's like, you have our 100% support. And if you have to miss stuff, it's okay, because it's time and you deserve it. This is my 17-year-old saying this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because they know. And I don't sit around going, what I gave up for you.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Totally.
Right.
That's not a
no,
thing.
No, you just raise children that are strong and independent and see you and love you and are kind because that's what you've given to them and now they're giving it back to you. And that's also really beautiful.
They get to a certain age where they ask
they understand.
You, but they ask, why don't you do that anymore?
That's right.
And I go, because I have you guys and I don't want to miss you. And I know and I'm always honest.
Yeah.
I'm not soft soap it or anything, but yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And it really, really hit me today. Way more than us sitting here and doing a podcast. When you were talking about the time frame, I was like, wow, she's telling my story in a different way. And I'm, how old are you?
I'm 54.
Okay, so I'm 49. And I feel like sometimes the fear of taking myself out of the game at this moment.
Yes.
Is, you know, is that like.
Let me flip it for you.
Yeah.
When I turned 50, because you're getting there.
Yeah.
When I turned 50, I know a lot of girls were freaking out about 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I go, this is so great. It is halftime.
Yes.
We're going to gather the team in the locker room and we're going to have a little chat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go, okay, what went well? What didn't go well first half? And how are we going into the second half? But I found it to be such a release. Like, there's nothing left to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Try it all. Do it all, make the phone call, reach out, why not?
You know, yeah, that's right. I'm learning that lesson now as like a young person because I have a lot of, you know, like I'm always thinking I'm bothering someone or I'm, you know, I'm not going to do that or make that phone call or knock down that door or, you know, anything. And I'm learning to do just that, like just, you know, push through that.
Well, you're really going to be doing that in your new business. I mean, that's that you have to be in that place where you have to see it as you're showing them an opportunity.
Yes.
It's like,
yes. But to me, that's different. To me, the real estate is just working. And I've always been good at working.
Yeah.
So I have no fear when it comes to working.
It's more of the entertainment
industry that I have always sort of, even growing up, like been naturally attracted to. And I feel like that is why, what ultimately I think I'm supposed to be doing because I've received this, right? And I haven't even gone out of my way to get this.
Right.
So there is something there, but I still hold back and I'm learning, you know, through time and through other people who have come into my life, like Shane and like Heather, like both of you really are so good for me because you help me to break down barriers that I have put in my own way in my life, you know, and then seeing other people and the way that they operate and being successful and going for the things that you want, because this is a business that you simply have to do that. If you want something out of it, you have to go for it. And just being confident in myself and pushing through has been a good lesson. I am closing out my 30s. Next year, I will be 40. And I actually am looking forward to it too, because, you know, being young kind of works against you
sometimes
in this particular cast of characters too that we have going on. Being younger has worked against me, so I feel like being in my 40s will actually give me some clout. You know,
I would say, you know what? Someone asked me recently about that was turning 40, and I said it's the greatest decade
mm-hmm.
because you're still incredibly young,
mm-hmm.
but you're old enough to be respected and worthy. In that respect.
Somebody just said, I just read this somewhere. They said your 20s make all your mistakes, get it all out of your system. Your 30s, you work and you try everything, but you identify how you want to be successful, how you want to monetize all of that. And then your 40s is for going to work on those things and making it all happen.
I like
making
that.
That money, making those dreams come true. And then your 50s, you continue to rise, but you also get to enjoy more of it.
I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
I can tell. And I actually just have to say, because, you know, we would keep you all day long. We've got a few more minutes here. I have to at least for a minute dive into the fun of watching you guys and how entertaining and how much fun it seems like the two of you have. And how I do think you really, both of you took some hits this season that felt completely non-justified. I mean, Heather, I have to say, because I talked to Gina about this a lot because, you know, we're together, but I mean this so sincerely, and I say it if you're not here, I felt like you really got picked on in the silliest ways this season. You handled it with such grace. You could have been completely, you know, flabbergasted at some of the ways they tried to go after you. This you know, and I just thought, and I got to say, and this is somebody that we are friends with, and I she doesn't have to speak up on this. The way the show looked, I didn't love the way Emily was with you.
I didn't like it either. She and I have talked about it.
Okay, good. Because
they continue to talk about it.
Yes.
It didn't. And I love Emily, and she's been very gracious and kind. But I just, the way the show has played out, I just felt like there was an edge there that I just couldn't quite rationalize.
She's given interviews and said it was because of things that weren't shown. Do you know what she's talking about?
No.
Me either.
No.
So I love Emily. She's fun and she's smart.
She really is, yeah.
And I think she's a great mom. And I really enjoy being with her. But the full disclosure is I don't trust her right now because of what our history has been. And we had such a great time. And this is not meant to be negative.
Well, you're just being honest.
We had a great time at BravoCon together. We did a few appearances together, took pictures, had a great time with her. It was really fun. And again, I value her for all of those things. But historically, the things you're talking about, we would be together and then it would be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it to her this weekend when I wasn't around, she spoke about me differently. And so I don't trust
that. You
felt that.
A little blindsided. And
I don't trust that yet.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know.
I think that's fair. I don't like, I really personally am so turned off by this, like when people get into a fight on the show and then they're literally arch enemies, nemesis,
yeah.
saying the most horrible stuff they could ever say about each other on camera, off camera, the whole way. And then they have one scene on camera where they tell each other they love each other and then they're best friends again. And that's just not realistic. You know what I mean?
It takes
time.
Right
now,
build back.
Right. So you and Emily had a really tough go of it last season and you weren't seeing eye to eye and you weren't. And also, you know, I've spoken to her about this too, her delivery, you know, sometimes can be a little rough. I love her to death, but I think it makes sense that you wouldn't be like, we're best friends now and everything's perfect.
Well, that's
but
how.
Listen to what you just said. And I think this was the problem with my whole season. A lot of it is, so you know Emily for who she is.
Yes.
She's got a great heart. She's a great friend, she's a great mom, all those things. But you know she can be other things, which you're just describing. But it doesn't bother you. And you go like this, well, that's just Emily.
Yeah.
Right? But when it comes to
you
me,
don't have that.
I don't get the same grace. Not from you. I'm saying from people.
Yeah.
On the show.
I agree with that.
So I think
you're held
to
a different standard.
But
that's the double standard.
I do that for you. Like I do, I don't, that like we all have our things that are bothersome, right? And like what you're saying is if you know somebody at their core, you forgive them of those things.
Exactly.
Or you honestly, like I even find some of those things to become endearing of my people that I care about.
Because you like her.
Yes. But I think the same.
You get the same thing, Gina, from Tamara and Vicky, and where you can relate to what Heather's saying, where you're like, but I just did something so small that y'all are trying to run with that maybe would be nothing coming out of Shannon's mouth or somebody else's mouth. And Heather does, she is held to a different standard. And I think that people, you know, they're just waiting for you to misstep.
Right.
But it doesn't even matter if I misstep. That conversation we had in Montana.
You're right.
You said something. Tamara said something. I said something. But one word.
You were the one
out
held
of what
accountable.
I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got taken out and twisted and made.
I
totally.
Do think that's
and
your...
I see that. I think the problem with this season that I had was I was having some real, but minor, but real like issues with you. And the thing that bothered me was like, I felt like I was never able to really just like sit down and have the conversations we needed to have because everybody else was like tripling down on all this stupid exterior stuff.
So dumb.
And so then it was like, well, what do I do now? Do I pretend like I'm not having these like feelings or issues because I recognize that it was so much? But it kind of sucked because it's like I wanted to be able to just have a conversation with you. And like we did, for instance, like when things were bought. And this is what I love about Heather. And this is why you know that you have like a good friend, because I knew I was having some feelings and issues. It's a show. They keep us separate sometimes so that then you have to come together and have the conversation. But I'm never scared to have the conversation because I know that if I show her this is something that really bothered me or hurt me, she's going to see it. And I, as soon
and even
as,
if I don't, sometimes we don't agree with each other and that's okay, but we'll always listen.
you'll always listen and you'll always try to see my perspective, even if you don't agree with my perspective.
Yes.
And that is like all I ask for. And that is the way that I try to operate as well. Like, we don't have to always agree on everything. We just need to be able to see and validate each other's feelings. Yep. That's how I operate. Yep. And she will always validate my feelings, whether she agrees with them or not.
I think that shows. Also, I'll have to say, six Heather Dubrow personalities of the type that are that rational and open-minded when people sit down wouldn't make for a great show.
No,
it's like, the truth is we have to have somebody that like, I mean, I have to just say, of course, we love to dislike some of these people, but God, what Tamra did to Jen this season, I just was flabbergasted. That, and what made me think of it is when Gina just said, you know, they sit down, they're best friends, all is good. And it seems like this trust that comes back so quickly. It even happened at BravoCon.
No, they're like really not.
But at BravoCon on that panel, y'all, you know, another round of Tamra saying, I want the best for you and Ryan. No, you don't.
She said that at our panel?
She definitely said, yeah, because the Ryan came up, and when y'all were up there, she looked at Jen and said, you know, I don't wish any ill will for you. I want your relationship to be great. And some woman in the crowd goes, don't trust. but the truth is, you're sitting there at that point, you're just a little, it's like, I'm a little exhausted of this apology. And it just felt so mean. And I don't even want to get into that. My point was that you guys are, I do think you handle things differently. I think you're you're a more evolved person in that regard. So it's nice to know that you can sit down with someone and have a rational conversation, and that she's going to hear you and not take one word and run with it to some other cast member. But I didn't even want to go all the way down the road of talking bad about those women. I don't know any of them, except for the ones that you've introduced me to, which you didn't even introduce me to Heather.
Wow.
I know.
She tried to keep us apart.
I did. That's what I tried to do.
She knew.
I don't want anyone stealing either of you. I don't want you all, both of you, running off into the sunset.
She did tell me multiple times. She's like, you two are going to love each other so much. I was like, I knew.
Well, because we're going to have a new country song.
You're
hell
peers.
Yes. I was actually singing on the way here, because I do this whenever I'm going to talk to someone, even if it's just like my sister. I was in the car and I was singing, Heather Dubrow, she's glittery and shiny, and the whole OC knows.
That's all I had. That's so good.
I love it.
That's all I had.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
That Dr. Dubrow.
Wait, are we taking a picture?
Where is he? It's Dr. Dubrow.
Wait.
He's scrubbing.
I thought we were
in.
Just taking a selfie after that.
Oh. I knew he was going to be in.
Oh my God. Is he in surgery? Is he currently
in
surgery?
What did I do? Hold on.
Terry.
Hello, Dr. Dubrow.
What are you guys doing?
Hey, Terry, I saw that Botched was trending top 10 on Netflix.
I swear to God, it's because I watched it last night. It has to be.
By the way, it was number 2 on Netflix.
Woo! I saw that. Very good, Dr. Dubrow.
It was top 7 days ago.
I know. I was like, dang, when I put on my Netflix, I was like so excited for you guys. That's awesome.
Will you come
hang out with the head of NBC? And I told him to put on prime time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He should.
He looked at me like, what?
Well, if he wants ratings, if he wants people to come back to network.
Right?
I love you.
Congratulations for that. That's awesome.
How are you doing?
We're filming our podcast.
Yeah. But we're going to have to finish. I just want to say I love you.
We would love for him to come on.
Bye, guys.
Yes. And we would love you to be a guest, Dr. Dubrow.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Terry.
Love you, man. I got to sit by him and watch you.
I know there's always rumors, which I do. I think it's hysterical about your
marriage.
Boy,
you handle those well, because it's so stupid.
And also because, honestly, from day one, I was just telling Heather this, but it's truly, they love each other.
They're a team.
So much. Like they, and I don't mean this in like I mean this as a compliment. They remind me of my parents. And I'm like, gross. You know what I mean? Because like, it was the first thing that I ever noticed when I came to Heather's house, the first time I met her, which by the way, Heather has never, from the first time I met her, never made me feel uncomfortable or nothing or anything. But I want to clarify that, because people, I think, have this vision of you. And why I love you is because I've always been so comfortable around you. And then even, you know, being in our house and everything,
and that
was the first
birds.
Time we filmed. Yes, they're amazing. First time we filmed. And then I remember Terry wasn't in the scene, but he was there. And then we were done. And then I met Terry and they were just getting ready to like eat dinner or whatever. And I saw them interact and the way they treated each other. You just knew. That was the first thing I noticed was, wow, they're really in love. They're a real couple. He treats her with respect. She treats him with respect. They take care
and they
of
laugh.
Each other. You can tell that.
We have a lot of fun.
At BravoCon this weekend, I was sitting near him. We didn't actually speak, but we were, because we were in the backstage part, and then we walked out front to watch the panel. Watching him watch you, it just verifies everything she said.
And the last finale party when you see, because what he goes up to me, he's like, can you please
help my wife?
Like, it was, I'm like, that is Terry. Like, he was just watching her like, oh my God, like, this is the last day, but I cannot take it anymore. Please go help her.
Well, if you want to say anything
to
that.
It's probably hard for him that through this season too, because I'm sure you went home and were venting about how hard it was for you. And it's hard for him to also be working so hard and so much, but to feel like you're under it in this season is probably really heavy.
Feeling like there's a moment where we were in Mexico on the trip, and you don't see me, but you hear me saying I hate
that you hate all of us. Yeah.
Sorry, I did in that moment. But people thought I was talking to the producers. I was on the phone with Terry.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, I knew you were talking to Terry.
No,
Oh, really?
They thought I was talking. Yeah, it was Terry.
But you understand, just not to go back or whatever, this is the one thing that I do want to make a point of with the whole house sale. For me, and I understand the non-disclosure, like I totally get that. And you obviously should say nothing to anyone when you're dealing with a legal document. And I get that. I see it and I'm like, you wanted to have a moment. And so I understand that, but I didn't understand it at the time. At the time I took it as, but like, I'm just your friend. And to me, if you were selling your house, that meant that you potentially were moving to LA.
Oh.
And so for me, it was more like, as your friend, I would want to know that you're leaving.
But meant telling everyone.
Everyone.
I get that.
And this was the other problem.
But I didn't in the moment. I'm too much of a real person sometimes in the moment.
But
you
also,
know?
It wasn't just you guys. It was every single one of my friends. No, Nancy Bello didn't know.
You were in
that
an impossible situation.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
No
if
one.
If Nancy Bello didn't know, I feel better.
I didn't.
Nancy
I didn't tell.
Ride or die.
You were in an impossible situation.
Yes. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my family until really close to, because first of all, the guy came over. We made a deal in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to be out in 3 weeks.
Can we also please spotlight the fact that I understand that Josh Altman cashed that check for the sale of that home, but I really do believe that this girl sold that house with the home tour. Okay. So
where's your commission?
Where's my referral fee? Yes, Josh.
Well,
did,
you were actually saying that joke on the panel the opposite way though, because did she not send you a client? Wait, wasn't there some comment made about like a referral fee?
I probably made the same comment.
Maybe it was that.
On
okay.
that panel.
Maybe it was
I
that.
Probably made the same exact That's comment.
So, it might have been that.
Because I just think it's hysterical. But yes.
Well,
what's
funny is I showed the house.
You told me that. Well, she gives, let's be honest.
I give a good
she
tour.
Gives a badass home tour. That's why, like, when you see me, it was so fun. It was so fun to go look at that house.
Because I designed the house.
And she's
so I'll
not
tell you
showing
wherever.
Off. She is so excited to share with you
and especially
what she's
for someone,
hard on.
And especially when someone likes homes and details.
Right. Like, I was, that was so fun to
Plus
look at
it
that.
Was a, it's a way to, it inspires a dream. I mean,
totally.
I always feel like that when I show people our home. I'm like, I want you to see what's possible because guess what? I didn't grow up like this. And that's what's really fun to me.
And that I do love that. Like I do feel inspired. Like being around you two for me it inspires me. You know, it doesn't make me feel ever like less than nothing because you're not that kind of people. But also like in general, I think you are that person or you're not. And for me, I've always looked at it as when my friends have things, I'm like, wow, I'm so happy for you. I'll come swim in your pool. I'll come hang out at your house. Your house is like my happy place. but also like, wow, look at all that could be for me too. And that's amazing.
And we'll just so you know, I feel the same way about other people.
Yeah, I know you do because you're that kind of person.
But there's a misconception that I'm someone who wants to be the top dog.
But I know that's not true.
Please, I want to come swim in your pool too.
Right, and she really is that.
I'd actually rather swim in your pool.
And I do.
Because then I don't have to clean it all up after.
Well, you know what? You did. You do so well. And I know you're like this, and I love it in other people because I try very hard to do the same thing. You do not think that shining a light on someone else dims your own light.
She does not.
As a matter of fact,
she tries to help make my life brighter.
It does.
She's always trying to, and if I called Heather tomorrow for any reason, she would be there for any one of us. And I know that to be true. Even the ones that aren't nice to her, she's still there for them. That's a fact.
Well, we're going to wrap on that because we could keep her all day telling her how much we love her. And
you guys are so sweet. Thank you so much for having me.
Little morning ego boost.
I think this was, I really think people, because I know from the people that listen and what they tell me, I know how much people are going to get out of this because people really are looking to be inspired and looking for role models in a way that it doesn't have to be, I don't even know the word I'm trying to say, but it's like, look, you're having fun and you're doing it without hurting other people. And you're living your own dream and helping other people live theirs. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.